I've got two extremely explicit romance novels and one extremely explicit horror novel.
It's Saturday, April 25th, 2026, and around the country, independent bookstores and book lovers are celebrating Independent Bookstore Day. I'm Stina Trecha, and I headed down to one of Vancouver's independent bookstores, White Oak Books in Uptown, to hear from some customers and folks who are working the shop.
When you live in a place like Vancouver, where it's more suburban, oftentimes less progressive, coming into a place like this, to White Oak Books, where they really have progressive politics on display proudly, it's a sigh of relief walking in here and feeling seen, feeling known, feeling like this is accessible to me without having to cross over into another city.
White Oak is our like local indie bookstore. We come here all the time and just empty our pockets.
Yeah, this is the reward I'm giving myself for clearing off my bookshelves.
Yeah.
Is for immediately filling them back up. I have been teaching myself Chinese, so I picked up this book on learning languages, Fluent Forever, and I heard really good things about The Poet Empress by Shen Tao, so I picked that up as well. And it's got gold sides. I like that all the books here are very beautiful. They have very beautiful editions. Yeah.
And their recommendations are all fantastic. They have so many like little blurbs from the people who work here about why they like those books, and I have never been disappointed.
I came in because it's Independent Bookstore Day, and I walked in. I said, "Happy Independent Bookstore Day." My mom, who passed about 4 years ago, loved books. She taught reading as her profession, and after she retired, continued to teach reading. And I came in memory of her.
Thank you. What's your name?
Michelle.
Can you tell me what you got in your hand there?
I have a book called In a Lonely Place by Dorothy Hughes and a magnet called Read Banned Books.
Thank you. You're welcome. We're obsessed. but yeah, this one looked good and I have the other two, so I just needed the third one.
Can you tell the listeners what you're holding? Those giant books, they're quite large.
Three Shattered Souls and The Shadows of What Was Lost. Honestly, have not read the rest of the series, but it came recommended, so I'm just grabbing it just so I have it. Yeah, I'm Grace and I do come here probably too often. But yeah,
I don't think that's possible.
Well, no, it's not too often. Yeah, no, not possible. But yes, we do like to read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is our second trip to the bookstore today because I forgot that I wanted this book. I saw a really, really good recommendation online that said it was like one of the most perfect novels they ever read. And then I came really focused and was like, I need to buy this. So I came back and got it.
This is her fourth book from the store today.
Yes.
So I'm about to buy The Eyes of Gaza, A Diary of Resilience by Plestia Alakad. She was a journalist in the beginning, however many months, possibly more than a year, of the genocide that really didn't start October 2023, but really surged at that point. She was one of the brave journalists putting their lives on the lines every day to show the world what was really going on, really putting their lives on the lines, not just as general people, but as targets. Journalists especially were targets, and many of them have been killed. She barely got out with her life and was able to share this with the world. So I saw that, and I love a paperback, so I was like...
I'm Kayleen at White Oak Books, and we've had an insanely busy and wonderful independent bookstore day today. We've had so many great folks come in. We've had so many folks use our great deals that we had going today, and we've really loved meeting all the customers and community that are so happy that we're here.
Thanks to the customers and staff at White Oak Books in Uptown Vancouver at 1700 Main Street. Independent Bookstore Day happens the last Saturday every April, so mark your calendars for next year. For KXRW, I'm Stina Trecha. On Main Street and 16th in downtown Vancouver, a rack of bikes are lined up just outside of a bike shop. It's a typical spring day here in Vancouver with the sun peeking out in between downpours of hail and intermittent rain. But it is spring, so that means people are dusting off their bikes from storage and heading out into the streets again, and the shop is busy. This shop isn't just any bike shop, it's the Bike Clark County Bike Shop. Bike Clark County is Southwest Washington's only bicycle education and advocacy organization. At this shop, you can donate bikes, find a bike, buy used and new gear, learn how to work on your own bike, and even volunteer your time to help other folks with theirs. Shortly before closing, I caught up with some of the team.
A big goal of our shop, and hopefully any community cycling shop, is to kind of break down the barriers for the common rider, make them maybe less intimidated about stopping at shops, asking questions to mechanics or the staff there, hopefully demystifying some of the bike systems. I'd say flats, dealing with tires and tubes being the biggest one. Just trying to make it as accessible as we can.
Yeah, so our shop is laid out with bikes and bike parts kind of in every direction. It's a huge space. So if you walk in, you'll see bikes, you'll see shoes and clothing, you'll see bike parts hanging off of racks, you'll see wheels hanging from the ceiling and bike frames hanging from the ceiling. By and large, all of that stuff is things that we're selling. Proceeds help us keep the doors open and go and benefit those youth programs. If you keep walking past the for sale items, you'll see our community workbenches. And the community workbenches are another program that we run. They are a free space where anybody can come in and use our tools to work on their own bike for free. We have staff on hand that can answer your questions. It's a DIY space, but if you get a little over your head doing a flat repair or fixing your brakes, we can help you out with that.
I'm John Vasquez. I've been volunteering with Bike Clark County for almost 10 years. Every other Thursday, we meet up and we disassemble a lot of the donated bikes. And part of our goal is to donate as many bikes as we can for Christmas for underprivileged kids. Not to mention, we have a slew of after-school programs that I know that a lot of the bikes go to as well. I do recommend, if you're interested in volunteering, to check out our website, bikeclarkcounty.org, and check out when you're volunteering. You don't really need any experience whatsoever, but if you're willing to turn a wrench or willing to learn, we're always welcoming people.
There's kind of this reputation in the industry of bike mechanics being kind of rude and know-it-alls. And while it's not as true as our reputations proceed, there is definitely some truth to that. And at these community shops, we try and eliminate that barrier as much as possible. Cyclists, whether they're on their bike regularly or just occasionally every couple weekends, you should check your tire pressure. If you don't have the tools at home, you will have to stop by a bicycle shop or anywhere that's going to have an air compressor with a gauge on it. You should also stop by a bike shop and have them check your chain.
To find out more about Bike Clark County and their work, or to get involved as a volunteer, head to bikeclarkcounty.org. If you're heading out after a winter hiatus, Bike Clark County Shop team member Friday has some advice before hitting the road.
If you're not riding your bike in the winter and you need maintenance on it in the summer for when you want to ride it, maybe get it fixed in the wintertime. It's going to be really busy in the summertime, and there will be a long wait with a lot of other people who are coming in all at the same time. Be preemptive. It saves you a lot of hassle in the long run. And also, avoid direct-to-consumer e-bikes. They skirt a lot of safety regulations and do not come with the right kind of equipment to deal with the amount of power-to-weight ratio that you're now touting.
The Bike Clark County Bike Shop is located on Main Street and 16th in downtown Vancouver. And from me, your fellow cyclist, keep the rubber side down. For KXRW, I'm Stina Trecha. It's a rainy Tuesday in April. headed downtown Main Street on the main part of the construction, the block where Kiggins Theater is, and on the marquee it says, "Support the businesses," the names of businesses on the street, so I thought, what better idea to go in and actually capture some of those community voices, knowing that this time of year, and especially with the construction, it's often shop owners that are going to be there in their business, and on this rainy day, most of the shops, unfortunately, kind of empty. But it gave me a chance to sit down and talk with several business owners, and right now, we're going to hear from one of them.
So down here at Soft Tea, if you've seen a capybara in Vancouver, you may have been by here.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of in a quieter side of downtown, but part of me really appreciates that we can have more meaningful connections and conversations with customers. Every person that walks through that door, you really get to know them, even if it's through a small interaction. Just, you know, hearing about how their days are going, how their families are. You really get to know some of these people in our community, and I think that's what really strives me to like keep going and keep building, keep improving, and keep going at it. So yeah, the next door space is actually something my sister and dad are working on. It's an instant noodle bar concept where you kind of make your own noodles right in front of you. You go ahead and like add your own deluxe toppings, and then you put it on an induction stovetop, and it all happens right in front of you. So it's a very interactive experience. Yeah, and she's been killing it. I mean, she did her own renderings. She did her whole build out herself, like drew it out, and she's been working on it for about 2 years. We're expecting to open by Memorial Day weekend, but we're also waiting on construction to be done. So it's a little bit of ambiguity, but we're expecting end of May sometime. Her name is Leah. She was just here, but she went and, you know, had to get her mind off of it for a little bit. She's really young, just like me, but I think that's what gives us a smaller edge. It's like we're kind of gritty and we want to do riskier things in a, you know, in an area where taking risks may not be like always something people are comfortable with. But that's just kind of how we were raised. And to answer your question about the capybara, they're like these very peaceful rodents that don't harm other animals. And it's kind of like a community figure that we really believe in, and we represent it through our staffing, through our conversations and stuff like that. I really get to know some of the staff. I've had people come in and go, but you know, like for instance, my dog passed away 2 weeks ago, but all my old employees that aren't here anymore, they like reached out to me and they just sent their condolences. But you know, small things like that really shows like the type of relationships we built over the years. And you know, even if they're not an employee anymore, they're still always gonna have that like Soft Tea relationship. And even with the staff now, I love to just hear about them, what kind of courses they're taking, what kind of direction they wanna go in life, because I was in their shoes like 3 years ago. So yeah, just getting to work with like-minded people and yeah, work with so many different types of people also has been really cool. So yeah, we were just talking about endorsing or like pushing sobriety amongst the youth, because I've experienced a lot of people in my life who've dealt with problems like addiction, and yeah, I like to really believe in the products that we offer, so that's why I don't sell any alcohol. I'm very family and kid friendly, and yeah, it's always been about believing in like your morals and putting those before like the business and stuff like that. Yeah, any other questions?
What does community mean to you?
Community is belonging. I really believe that no matter like what somebody is like behaving towards you, like they have something that needs to be explained. Like empathy is really big. That's something I really believe in. I'm big on empathy. Because, you know, whether somebody's rude to me, I never know what they're going through. So, I mean, our only job is to serve and give back, and that's something I believe in a lot.
The owner, Noah, is celebrating 2 years of Soft Tea. Soft Tea specializes in traditional handshaken bubble tea and handcrafted soft serve, and they're located at 808 Main Street. Behind me is the song Capybara in the Spirit of Soft Tea by Maharu Koshi and Harumi Hosono. I'm Stina Trecha for KXRW.
Yeah. Hi there. My name is Michael Walker, and I'm the executive director of the Vancouver's Downtown Association. We were founded in 1989, and we work to support businesses along the corridor, especially during the construction project. The construction project has been 30 years in the making. It's been attempted three times, once in 1993, another time in 2008, and most recently started through the design phase in 2022. It's a once-in-a-generational investment in the corridor. New sewer lines, electrical, utilities, new streetscape, hardscape, overhead lights, new public art, wider sidewalks. It's safer, accessible, more connected. You know, creating a district that people want to live, work, and play in is really important. It attracts investment. Since the start of this project, we've had 10 new businesses locate on Main Street in the last 24 months. Folks have really developed a lot of interest in the corridor, so that's been really exciting. The project has really mostly been driven by business owners and property owners and residents in the community, which has really been a joy to watch and experience. A lot of the design elements that we see within the street have been informed by the folks who occupy it, like merchants and restaurants, for example. So there's like wider outdoor seating areas for folks to have, you know, places for their patrons to sit, for example. So the project's really guided it for and by the community, which we're really excited about. What I love about downtown Vancouver, outside of that, the infrastructure project, is how neighborly the downtown district is. Folks really collaborate and work with one another. In many ways, I always think it's kind of old-fashioned. I've had people stop me before, like recently, this is top of mind, like 2 weeks ago, an older gentleman approached me and I was talking with a neighbor and with two other business owners, and the man was like, "You never see this in Portland. Like, folks don't talk to each other like they talk to people here. It feels a lot more like connected, and there's a strong social fabric here." So if you haven't been downtown or haven't experienced downtown, most of the businesses have the owners working behind the counter. Like right now we're in Soft Tea and you have Noah, who's right behind the counter. He's really community oriented. Aaron GM, you always see the owner behind the counter. That's Crystal Larry. Ronald Records, Kelsey is always behind the counter. So the folks that you're interacting with oftentimes, more likely than not, are the folks who are running the businesses full time. So, and it's just been a joy to work with them in collaboration with things we're doing downtown.
Hi, my name is Crystal Humble Larry. My store is called Aaron GM Papetry. Everyone calls me Cricket, and when you come in, say hello. Community is really important to me, especially owning a stationery store where we're connecting to each other or ourselves through journaling or sharing our words through letter writing. I think that this entire operation is so supported by the downtown community, tourists coming over. Everyone's excited to be a part of a bigger experience here. Letter writing allows you to do that. It allows you to connect to your local shops. It allows you to extend yourself beyond just walking into a store. You get to spread a little bit of you all over the world. It's really exciting to be part of that. I just feel really excited when youth come in and they're exposed to all of this beautiful paper. I mean, it's important to note that expensive and inexpensive, beautiful things from Europe, from France, all the stationery is not for older, pretentious folk, people that are better off, have more money than you. This is for everyone. You can have beautiful stationery. And I like that people are exposed to it at such a young age. People are often, "Are you open? Can I walk up this ripped up section of the sidewalk to get to you?"
But you've painted it.
Yes, it's very inviting.
You made a whole like yellow brick road with rainbow flowers, and you have a whole sign that says follow the flowers up to your store.
That was actually the Downtown Association. They knew that I would be very excited about it, so they just did it overnight. We are a little bit set off to the side. My shop does not have a visible sign from Evergreen, so it's hard to know if I'm there unless you already know about me. So I think that little painted board gave folks permission to enter a construction zone and know that they were okay walking through and invited to come to the store. The one thing I love about the way this has been undertaken is stores are open throughout the whole thing. We are never closed. It's just getting people in and making them not feel discouraged if they have to walk around the block. It's only on those side streets especially. Mm-hmm. A lot of those side streets are being used to stage equipment. But if you see road closed, local access only, you are the local access. Pull in. The turning around's a little tricky, but I opened the store as a pop-up actually off of Mill Plain in 2022. And then I got this building almost 3 years ago.
What does it mean to you to be in downtown Vancouver instead of being in a pop-up?
That's a great question. I like being on the heart of Main Street. I want to be visible and accessible to anyone. I feel like stationery, paper, cards is one industry I not only believe in passionately, I love the art, the supporting of artists, but also it's for everyone. It does not discriminate. Like, paper is literally for everyone. And I think people feel that when they come in, they're like, I'm welcome here. There's gonna be something that I like or that I align with, and it brings inspiration. So I think being part of the Vancouver community, which I already like a lot, being accessible to the public right on Main Street, it's a joy. And I knew I wanted to be on this block in 2010 when I moved here. I chose the Kiggins block. I said, this is where I want my store. I love this block.
And now look at this block.
Yeah, well, it's a mess, but it's gonna be so good. No, it's gonna be great. Actually, it's already like full. All the businesses we're thriving a bit. I mean, everyone's sales are down in this portion, but it is temporary. It's 3 to 4 months, and when it's over, it's gonna be incredible. I'm actually really looking forward to it. Every day I come to work, I'm so excited now. Before construction began, I came to work with dread because I just didn't know. I'm like, when are they going to begin? When is it going to end? What's my business going to be impacted like? Am I financially going to make it? You have all these questions. And then when they begin, it's almost this huge relief. I mean, people who don't have children maybe don't fully understand this, like, this dread of like 9 months of like, am I going to make it? Am I going to survive? Is the baby going to be okay? But then when you're like in labor, you're just like, you're just stoked to get through it. You're like, get this thing out, right? So I feel like this is a very interesting, like, relatable experience where I'm like, we're in it. But I'm like excited. I don't come to work with dread anymore. Every single day I come to work with hope. I waved all the construction crew. They all know me now. I'm like, you're doing great. Keep it up. But I really feel excited about every day is one day closer to being done. I'm just so thrilled what the end product will be. They could have ripped up the street, patched it up and moved on. We would have been left with a mess, a very unattractive, bumpy patch up job. And instead we're getting this beautiful.
The Main Street promise.
The Main Street promise.
I'm Kelsey Jennings. I'm the co-owner of Ronald Records, and we're here on a Tuesday morning listening to Gorilla's Demon Days while we have a beautiful view of construction through our windows. A listening party is something that's set up through an artist's label. And we get the opportunity to either listen to the album before it comes out or the day that it comes out. And it's a way to really get a good feel for the album, meet some fans that also love the music. And usually they send us some fun, like freebies, posters, stickers. And it's a completely free event and everyone is welcome.
I'm Erin, and I'm a volunteer here at Ronald Records, and I'm a content creator. And I have not trademarked that term, so feel free to also be a content creator. I just think it's a really good time to stop thinking about content and start thinking about content. Rhythm is greater than algorithm.
So that was a little trip down a rainy Tuesday on Main Street, on that main block in downtown Vancouver where the Kiggins Cedar is, where on the marquee it says, support these businesses. So I went into a couple of the businesses, and we even heard from the executive director of the Downtown Association. I want to thank the shop owners who talked to me today, Noah from Soft Tea, Crystal from Erin GM, and both Kelsey and her volunteer Erin from Ronald Records. Conversations about community, conversations about downtown, conversations about the future beyond the construction, and in the meanwhile, building community with the sounds and the views of change right out all their front windows. Thank you for joining me. I'm Stina Trecha. This has been part one of construction on Main Street, with the shops being open this spring as we prepare for a summer where Main Street is going to keep changing with more construction and looking different. I'm Stina Trecha for KXRW. Thanks for joining me here on KXRW. I'm Stina Trecha, and I've been spending the day on Main Street, on the Kiggins Block in downtown Vancouver, talking to shop owners. In the second part, we're going to hear from Nicole Wallace, Vancouver's communications manager, the owner of Reverie and Rosemary, Carino Mexican Specialty Coffee, and Big D's Barbershop. So stay tuned to learn more about what community means to those building and making community on Main Street during all this construction in 2026.
Nicole Walters, I'm the Strategic Communications Manager for the City of Vancouver. Absolutely, one of the main core tenets of this project is creating a gathering place for Vancouver. And being intentional of the design, having the curbless sidewalks, the bump out for the crosswalks, so making it easier for pedestrians to spend time on Main Street, as well as going into what we refer to as street festival activation, to where we will have temporary bollards that will be installed, so we're able to close down entire blocks at a time. So with funding from the American Rescue Plan Act, we were able to finally deliver on that promise that was envisioned back in the early 90s by our community. So this is a long time coming, and we're excited to deliver on something that the community has been waiting for. Since breaking ground in December of 2024, we've had over 20 businesses either open, expand, or will soon be opening later this year. We wanted to preserve the character and the charm, and I know that that is what has attracted the full spectrum of businesses, retail, food, specialty, really filling a niche for this community. The city is stoked that construction will be wrapping up soon. Later this year, and to have all the Main Street businesses already planning for a fun summer, a fun fall, and we're really excited to deliver on this project.
Hi, my name is Melissa Mancias, and we are at Carino Coffee House. Community, what it means to me, honestly, I think that's what the Mexican culture is all about, is community. When you go into someone's house, it feels like you're coming home, and so that's really what we wanted to create here. There's a saying, mi casa es su casa, and so my house is your house, and so that's kind of what we wanted to create in this coffee shop. And yeah, I think it's been received really well, and when people come in here, we welcome everybody, and hopefully everyone feels that when they walk in. Our place is unique. It's different than anything else in this area, and hopefully when they walk in, they feel our culture, they feel our community, and they love our coffee.
I'm Stephanie, owner of Reverie and Rosemary. I've lived here in Vancouver my whole life, born and raised. You can trace my mother line back 7 generations, in fact. So it was really exciting when I was able to get this space next to Kiggins. It's been really fun to uncover the history of the building, like the brick wall, the old growth beams in the ceiling. There's a footprint on the stairs that I left for the history of the space. I wanted the building to feel storied itself, just like the vintage and antiques that I have in store. I've been in a lot of different shops, stores, done different events as a vendor. And it was time to get my own space and create my own space. 2 years prior to opening the doors, I would say, we started to really get into the space and really uncover what the space had to offer.
How'd you do that? I mean, were you like pulling planks? Were you moving stuff? I know this is a very old building. Were there things you needed to do to really get it ready that kind of told you more of the story of the building?
Absolutely. There was actually a weird, awkward wall. And when my husband took that wall down, he noticed that there was brick behind it. So I said, let's keep uncovering that. And then we eventually uncovered this awesome brick wall. Well, Kiggins is 1932, and Dan, the owner of Kiggins, thinks that it is prior to that. So these quite possibly could be hidden bricks, probably about 1920. I was really excited to be a part of First Fridays that the Vancouver Downtown Association hosts every First Friday. So we've been doing little pop-up markets featuring local artists, local musicians. The space is an intimate space for local groups to gather. Really excited to get that space up and going. So it's one downstairs space to hold all of these different ideas, these different artists, these different gatherings and groups. It's a creative space. There was an appliance store in the 50s that actually had a little mock kitchen down there. So it makes a great little stage. And
Oh, hence the kitchen stage that yes. Machine Eileen and Sarah were talking about on their show. Okay.
Absolutely. So we call that the kitchen stage. And then the downstairs has gotten the name Spiritual Speakeasy for the different types of groups and events that have been happening in there. Like we had an Oracle Night. That's probably going to be a monthly event. We have also a group of local artists that we feature in store, including Clay Braven. You might find his works at the Farmer's Market as well. And an eclectic mix of oddities and just cool, weird, quirky things. An eclectic mix.
My name's Danny. We are at Big D's Barbershop downtown Vancouver on Main Street next to the theater.
Well, we just hired a new barber today. That's awesome. Our station was empty for 6 months and we had about 5 other people try, but it's really important who's in here. The vibe's got to match and they've got to be an exceptional barber. So we're pretty excited about that. I'm not really the boss type. I just really wanted a really nice shop to work in. I was over in Portland and I saw some really cool all-inclusive barbershops in Portland, but I really didn't see one quite like that here in Vancouver. So I decided to take a risk and bring it to Vancouver, and it's been very successful and people love it. I've had a lot of people even thank me for doing that, for bringing this kind of a shop here.
I have been cutting hair about 13 years. I started my hair journey in Florida, moved to Idaho, cut hair there for about a decade, and then I just moved here about 3 years ago. And I've been at Big D's ever since. At least here we're like contracted, so we are basically our own small business. We just work here. And you pay like a weekly booth rent. You have to cover all your licenses and pay for all your licenses, and there's so many that you have to get in Washington, it's kind of insane. But yeah, you basically are your own business, and we just work in the building. What you can expect is honestly good music, good vibes, good times, and great haircuts, honestly. It's just, and a lot of fun, yeah. I just really love being here. I love the vibes, I love the clientele, I love my coworkers. It's a good spot to be.
And that wraps up this two-part series on how downtown Vancouver shop owners are building community during construction on that Kiggins Street block, which is under construction right now in April 2026. Special thanks to Michael Walker, Executive Director of Vancouver's Downtown Association, and Nicole Wallace, Vancouver's Communications Manager. Construction is underway to improve Main Street in downtown Vancouver from 5th to 15th Street. It's called the Main Street Promise. For more information, you can head to cityofvancouver.us and look up Main Street Promise. For KXRW, I'm Stina Trecha. Mm-hmm.
jeune d'un peuple épris de sa vieille cité, près de Notre-Dame, parfois couvre un drame. Oui, mais à Paname, tout peut s'arranger. Quelques rayons du ciel d'été, l'accordéon d'un marinier, l'espoir fleurit au ciel de Paris. Sous le ciel de Paris coule un fleuve joyeux. Il endort dans la nuit les clochards et les gueux. Sous le ciel de Paris les oiseaux du bon Dieu viennent du monde entier pour bavarder entre eux. Et le ciel de Paris a son secret pour lui. Depuis 20 siècles, il était pris de notre île Saint-Louis. Quand elle lui sourit, il met son habit bleu. Quand il pleut sur Paris, c'est qu'il est malheureux. Quand il est trop jaloux de ses millions d'amants, il fait gronder sur eux son tonnerre éclatant. Mais le ciel de Paris n'est pas longtemps cruel. Pour se faire pardonner, il offre un arc-en-ciel.
I never got to bat in the major leagues. I'd have liked to have that chance. Just once. To stare down a big league pitcher. To stare him down, and just as he goes into his windup, wink. Make him think you know something he doesn't. That's what I wish for. Chance to squint at a sky so blue that it hurts your eyes just to look at it. To feel the tingle in your arm as you connect with the ball. To run the bases, stretch a double into a triple, and flop face first into third. Wrap your arms around the bag. That's my wish.
It's called The Road to the Show. Almost every player travels it if they're so lucky to get a chance to get to the major leagues. And while there is no major league team here in the Portland area, for many aspiring ball players, the road starts here in Hillsboro. The Arizona Diamondbacks single A affiliate Hillsboro Hops will now have a brand new stadium to welcome players in their own roads to the show, as well as fans and spectators alike. We here at KXRW were lucky enough to attend the opening of the brand new $150 million ballpark and were able to get a glimpse into what it can offer for years to come. The first thing you'll notice upon arriving is that it is right next door to the old stadium, and probably prompting yourself to ask, well, why exactly was this built when the old stadium's right there? With MLB-mandated facility standards, including locker rooms and training facilities, the team, city, and investors not only felt it was a better decision to build a new stadium instead of spending the money of renovating the existing, but felt it necessary to prevent the Hops from relocating and boost tourism for years to come. Here is team president and general manager K.L. Wambacher speaking with us about his hopes for the ballpark.
Our goal was to design and build this and blow people away and hear people say wow when they walked in the front gates, and we're seeing that tonight. So it's a validating experience. We just want this to be the place to be. The place to be for a concert, the place to be for a baseball game, a community event. Sporting venues and entertainment venues just bring people together. It doesn't matter how much money you make, where you're from, everyone comes together and celebrates together. So we want this to be the heart of the region.
The $153 million project was funded by several investors, primarily from Hop's ownership, but also including the Oregon Legislature, Washington County, Explore Tualatin Valley, and the city of Hillsboro, having the second largest stake in the investment. Present and greeting as many attendees as possible was Hillsboro Mayor Beach Pace, excited what it meant for the community and future of Hillsboro.
It means so much, and I think the central word here is community, right? Because it's not just about baseball. We're gonna have festivals here, we're gonna have concerts here, and the community can continue to come together at this stadium and enjoy this amazing space. Seeing your neighbors having a great time.
It was very clear that the opening meant a lot to everyone who helped lift this off. You could see that in every seat, a personalized note was written to the fans from the Hops organization themselves. And there was plenty to be excited for, including, but not limited to, closer seats to the field, a concourse that wraps around the entire field, a new video display, an advanced sound system, a 9,000 square foot premium club level, and a new type of eco-friendly turf, making the Hillsboro Hops the first team to use it in all of minor league baseball. To get a sense of how fans were reacting to everything, we asked a spectator what their thoughts were on the new stadium. None other than K2 News' own meteorologist, Dave Selesky.
It's a great night for baseball. Folks out here having a good time. Have you had the food here? Food's good. The crowd's great. And there's not a bad seat in the house. And I was told it's like basically most of the seats, about 85% of them are all undercover. So if it rains, we're all good. But I'm hoping they win here tonight for their home opener against Spokane. We'll see what happens.
Unfortunately, when it came to the result of opening day, there was no joy in Hillsboro as the Hops dropped the game 7-3 against the Spokane Indians. But still, hopes are high. And as for the goal for this year,
First place for the championship, of course.
The champions, of course. It's been a rough start, right? Plenty of time, no whole season. But yeah, I'm hoping we go all the way. I'll be here cheering them on.
If the team plays as good as the new stadium looks, I don't think it should be a problem. For KXRW and X-Ray FM, this is Michael Sarno signing off and saying,
this is KXRW. I'm Stina Trecha. Stay tuned to hear voices from a local plant sale here in Vancouver. That's right, it's spring, so everyone's got their eye out for those high school FFA plant sales where the stock is healthy and the prices are just right. We're talking $22 hanging baskets, if you know what I mean. So I had a chance to talk to a retiring teacher who spent 40 years at Hudson's Bay. This is his last plant sale. We're going to talk to an occupational therapist from Hudson's Bay. And thanks to Alondra, Haley, and Tristan, students at Hudson's Bay, who took a minute to share with me what they're up to at Hudson's Bay as far as FFA, the plant sale, and even the floral shop.
My name is Steve Lorenz. I teach at Hudson's Bay High School. I'm a horticulture teacher here. And we are having our 53rd annual horticulture sale, FFA horticulture sale. We try and grow around 20,000 plants. We've got 600 hanging baskets. We also have, as a part of this sale, the natural resource program, sells natives, herbs, and vegetables. And in Hort, we've kind of split the program over the years. And so we do all the annuals, perennials, and hanging baskets. So it's kind of two sales in one, so people come in. Been coming here for a lot of years and kind of enjoy the sales. The greenhouse that we're in right now is completely empty in September. By the time the sale's over, about 80% of everything that's in here will be gone. So we kind of clean it out, and then the next group of students come in and start over again. So this is my last year. I'm retiring. This is 40 years at Hudson's Bay, and so I'm looking forward to new adventures on the outside, and we have a replacement for the program with a gentleman by the name of Matt Sandman. And Matt and I are team teaching this year, just kind of help him get started in the program. So it'll be a good, seamless event, I hope.
How much money do you usually raise at this?
Well, now that we're taking credit cards, a lot more than when it was people peeling off $20 bills. Last year we did over 40,000, and we probably have done 10 to 20 today so far. So,
And tell the people which day of the sale and what time it is.
This is the first day of the sale, and it is 11 o'clock in the morning. So we've been open for 3 hours right now. And yeah, we have a huge return population that comes back year after year that really enjoys the sales. Kids work hard. We have 170 kids in the program. So that's why we typically grow as many plants as we do, to allow for hands-on for any kid that really wants to have a horticulture experience. So the plant sale is just an offshoot of meeting the needs of the kids and having work for the students to come out. And we're very lucky here at Bay. We have facility. We have a 4,000 square foot greenhouse, which most high school programs don't. And then we have three outside greenhouses, and that's why we have the perennials and other plants out there. And then again, natural resources is a sale into itself, and they have their own greenhouse out there. So combined, it's kind of a nice event for people to come.
Yeah, my name is Sarah Wells. I'm the occupational therapist at Hudson's Bay. The horticulture and the natural resources programs at Hudson's Bay are very inclusive. They include a lot of my special education students in many parts of the process. I've worked with my students on doing some scooping, so moving the dirt into the pots. Sometimes they do some like separating the pots and planting as well. I included shopping as part of a treatment session with one of my students today.
And it went really well.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked really fun. So I feel like plants are something everyone can relate to because they are our relations. What kind of relationship do you have with plants? You've got a pile of plants here.
Yeah, these plants are actually for my neighbors. I'm going to go and do my shopping now.
Anybody use this card?
I have a big garden. My neighbors have a big garden. I love the horticulture program at Bay. I think that it brings everyone together. You see the whole Vancouver community here shopping for plants and the students participating in all different ways.
My name is Tristan. We are currently working in the Hudson's Bay plant sale. Working on plant sale is helping people find what they need and just usually help the community and just be friendly to everyone. I've been involved for about a year and a half to two. I helped grow a lot of the herbs and vegetables in Miss Carpenter's greenhouse.
Do you have any favorite herbs or vegetables?
Tomatoes.
Nice. Are you going to grow any this year?
We did, actually. We have one of our entire sides is tomatoes.
Oh, fantastic. I'll have to check it out. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
We're helping the people around, just giving them a hand on carrying things, and we're taking them to the other side of the area with numbers to let them sit before they pay. This is my first year here. I've been helping plant and arrange some of this stuff.
I didn't do a whole lot of the planting this year. I did last year, but I've been going to the floral shop. We basically make a bunch of plants, like wrap roses and stuff, and then take them down and like staff or students can buy them, and like especially for like dances or like Valentine's Day is a big one, and just kind of hang out, sell plants.
And Mother's Day is coming up. Is that a big one for
that
the floral
is,
shop?
Yeah.
We also, for his students, our teacher gives us like little roses for our mothers, and he gives us like little note cards too, just to like spread the good deeds.
This is an FFA sponsored event, and we were state champions last year, so Bay went back to nationals this fall. The kids took third this year. So we were very competitive in FFA nursery landscape. All the kids that took third in the state are coming back as underclassmen next year. So we want to see the continuity in that program also. So primarily out of our program, we really focus on nursery landscape, which is all the plants and doing landscape design, landscape construction, knowing your plant material that you're putting in somebody's yard, designing, and then all the crops for just event work and things that you're trying to do. The other side is we also run a floral shop out of here. Fort Vancouver runs a floral shop. So the Vancouver high schools really rely on FFA, horticulture, nursery landscape, and floriculture as kind of their some of their key hands-on programs. Now, the CTE world in Vancouver is moving towards building trades, electrical, plumbing, and all of that. But landscaping is still a huge part of the construction trades, decks, fencing, outdoor living, all of those kinds of things. So we feel like, although some of the programs are evolving a little bit, there's always going to be that need for nursery landscape and those kinds of projects.
The Vancouver community would like to thank Steve Lawrence for his dedication to the community. 40 years at Hudson's Bay. Here's to his last plant sale. And in tribute, I asked him what music he'd like to play out this interstitial with.
I'm an old-time guy, yeah. So Led Zeppelin, you know, here we go.
It's spring in Vancouver, which means the year-round downtown Vancouver Farmers Market near Esther Short Park expands from its one-day winter schedule into a two-day weekend-long affair. The spring and summer market also hosts musicians and more vendors. Vendors range from produce sellers to food carts to artisans. If you strike up a conversation with the vendors, you may be surprised to hear how far they've traveled to be part of this market. They might even share why they choose this market over others closer to them as a place to call their weekend home.
So we have a very beautiful variety of flowers from our flower vendors. Some of our produce is starting to come out, and we are starting to see a lot more of a crowd.
Hi, this is Rachel from Fernandez Farms. We've been around since 2012. I've been farming since I've been 13 years old with my parents. They're both Hispanic. We've been trying to grow a little bit more, so we have quite a variety. So here in the next 2-3 months, we're gonna start seeing more of strawberries, all the fruits that are gonna start coming in, more peppers, all that fun stuff. We're only here till the last week of April, and then we start heading out to Ellensburg, which is more local for us, for local people. We're located in Sunnyside, Washington.
Yeah, hi, my name is Grace. I work at Quackenbush Farms. It's owned by Jennifer and Matt Van Way, and they've been farming for over a decade. They started at Vancouver's Farmers Market, so we're super excited to like continue to be here. It's a great market, and we love coming. Actually, you're catching us at a transition point. We're taking a break for about a month so that we can prepare all the spring veggies. So we'll be back around end of April, and you can expect around then some spring carrots, which will be really sweet and tender. So that's really exciting. We'll have lots more salad mixes. One of our trademarks is our mesclun, which isn't here in the winter because they're a little bit more tender greens, but that'll be back. And then we'll also have some more of like the tender roots, like your typical red radish and our Hawkeye turnips, which are a sweet salad turnip.
I'm Elisa with Moo Mallow, and I've got just different flavors of gourmet marshmallows that I handcraft myself. So I have peep ones for Easter right now, but I've got like chocolate, double chocolate, toasted coconut, strawberry cheesecake, and I've got them in all different sizes. And it's just meant to bring back, yeah, childhood memories, but with maybe kind of an adult twist. It's a new business, just got started this last year, so I'm excited to be a part of the market. I'm based out of Sandy, Oregon, but like I said, I'm here pretty much every other weekend in this market.
I'm James Dunbar, the painter of colorful memories, and I do very textured, colorful work. And so most people know me by the texture and the style and all that, so it really makes them feel good. It's a happy type of thing. And we did the Portland Starting Market for years, and we moved over here. And once we found the secret to this place, it's just incredible. Locals, this is 100% true, the locals support heavy every weekend, not one, but every weekend.
From April to October, the Downtown Farmers Market on 8th and Esther Street happens every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. From November through March, it's only on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Find out more at vancouverfarmersmarket.org. There you can also find out more about the Vancouver Farmers Market food access, small business development, and youth education programs. The East Vancouver Farmers Market will start back up again in June and will run Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Columbia Tech Center at 17701 Southeast Mill Plain Boulevard, Vancouver, Washington. And unlike the downtown market, in East Vancouver, there is ample free parking. For KXRW, I'm Stina Trecha. I